Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, tonight is the Fragrance of Humility, the series that we're doing. And we're doing session four. And tonight I've entitled this session, Understanding the Fear of the Lord. And we're going to look at tonight the connection between a few things that, you know, maybe you have or haven't looked at in the past, and as connected ideas, probably looked at all of these ideas individually, but looking at them together. And so tonight, my hope really is that we would be able to connect these dots and that it wouldn't be confusing. And so I'm going to start off with talking about how the fear of the Lord and humility are connected. And so what we want in this series, more than anything, is just to continually relate the concept of humility back to our own lives and see the beauty of it from the scripture, or the message title of the series, the fragrance of it. We don't want to just see the fragrance of humility in Jesus' life. We want that fragrance to be coming up in our own lives. I love that word fragrance when you're talking about a subject like humility, because if you've got friends that are humble, I don't mean they've said a humble thing two or three times, but they're just really humble people. They've really got humility operating in their lives. There's a certain beauty about that person. There's something about them that just is so attractive, not in a physical sense, but just in a spiritual sense. You just want to be around them. You're like, I just know if I'm around them, I'm going to be okay. I just know if I'm around them, my day is probably going to be all right, because I know the way that they talk, that they love, that they interact. It's just, there's a fragrance about it. And I think that's what would cause the rich and the poor, the prostitutes and the affluent, to want to be around Jesus. They get around him, and there's just something about this guy that was so different. And it was a fragrance. It was something about him that was so humble and so attractive. And so while there might not have been, as we've gotten the word, there was nothing outwardly attractive about him, you just wanted to be around him. And I think that fragrance of humility was such a core component of why. And we want it in our own lives. It was something that we really want to see in us. So I'm going to connect tonight three ideas. It all comes back to humility, but three ideas that might at first seem a little bit unique. And that is humility, the fear of the Lord, and wisdom. And as I kind of dove into this subject, I saw, you know, Moses, we started off with, I think in session one or session two, as the most humble man that ever lived. And we see that the beauty of humility lived out in Moses. And we also, one of the main guys that we talk about around here, just because his love for Jesus or for God was so real and so passionate, was King David. And then King David had a son, Solomon, who was called the wisest man that ever lived. And so I just want to celebrate David, who had this great love for God and was called a man after God's own heart, was uniquely called that. Moses, who was called the most humble man, and Solomon, who was called the wisest man. So these ideas connected together. And this wise man, who was the son of the guy who loved God the most, King David, the wisest man wrote 3,000 Proverbs, Solomon. And he talked about this concept of humility often. It was a subject that he understood very well. And if he was called the wisest man, you'd hope that he understood a lot of things pretty well. And here's one of the things that King Solomon, when he was king and he was writing all these Proverbs, here's one of the things that he wrote, and it's going to be the focal point tonight. It's going to be the thing that we kind of launch pad out of. All right, it says this in Proverbs 22, verse 4. One of the Proverbs of Solomon is this: humility is the fear of the Lord. So if we're going to have an entire sermon series on humility, and the wisest man that ever lived said that if you want to understand humility, you'd better understand the fear of the Lord, because humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. If we're going to talk about the subject of humility, and there is a Bible verse that was written by the wisest man who wrote 3,000 Proverbs, who was the son of the man who loved God more than anybody. If this is what we've got as the baseline in the Bible, we have got to dive into the subject of the fear of the Lord. And so tonight's message is going to be about the fear of the Lord as related to humility, because Solomon says it's a big deal. So real quick, a little refresher, because now we got to connect. If Solomon said humility is the fear of the Lord, then we need to look at the fear of the Lord. But look at what else the scripture says about the fear of the Lord. Let's look at these three verses that define the fear of the Lord as the beginning of something else. Psalm 111, Proverbs 1:7, and then also Proverbs 9:10 all say more or less the same thing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belong eternal praise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom. They despise discipline. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So let's not make this any more complicated than it needs to be. We are studying humility. But Solomon said humility is the fear of the Lord, and he said the fear of the Lord is the very beginning of wisdom. So the subject of humility, fearing God, and wisdom, they're all related. They are all 1, 2, 3 steps in a process, in a lifestyle, in a life pursuit, in a focus, in a way we posture our hearts. You can't separate these three things, because the wise guy connected these three details together. Let me get it to you one more time. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Point one. Point two, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So therefore, wisdom is the third point lived out. We'll see a little bit later that wisdom expressed in life is actually an expression of humility. We'll look at that here in a little bit. I'm just like kind of blown away by this, because this starts to open up a whole new door for us. If it's not that Solomon said that, you know, humility is a good idea, or humility is one of the expressions of the fear of the Lord. He defined it. He said humility is the fear of the Lord. So we've got to camp out here tonight. We've got to get our hands around this and relate it back to humility. We got to see what the Word of God says about this, because we can't do a study on humility and then bypass what Solomon said. Humility is something. We've got to figure out what the something is, because it's kind of a synonym for humility, if you will. It is the definition of it. It is closely connected to. So we got to camp out here and figure some things out. Look at what happens, though, if we live in humility. This verse here in Proverbs 11:22, again, also Solomon, he's giving us instructions about humility. He's giving us instructions about life and about how to walk in humility as a lifestyle. He says this: when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. This thing's wrapping all the way back around. It's a cycle, okay? He says, with humility, if you have humility, you're going to have wisdom. If you pursue humility, you're going to get more wisdom. If you operate in a lifestyle of humility, wisdom is going to follow you, because that's how God set this up. So, if you will, humility is wisdom. Wisdom is the starting point, or is the byproduct of the fear of the Lord. It's the very beginning point of the fear of having wisdom is the fear of the Lord. All of these things are related. It's a lifestyle that we're to pursue. And if we do one, the others will come soon after. The others all flow together. So to do a study on wisdom, humility, and the fear of the Lord is really to study the same subject. It's all different components of the same thing. We can't call it two sides of the same coin, because there aren't three sides to a coin. But this coin has three sides, and each one of them have their part, and it's all the same coin. And the point is that the Lord is trying to really retrain our thoughts, retrain our system of thinking and approach to life, to really make the center point of that which we're pursuing, of what we're giving our energy to be these three things in connection to each other. So this is going to be fun. We're going to look at the fear of the Lord tonight with a definitive understanding that the fear of the Lord is connected to being a humble person. And that you can't be humble without the fear of the Lord, because humility is the fear of the Lord. So whatever version of humility that we've thought up that is devoid of fearing God, it's not real. We need to redefine what it means to be humble and connect it to the fear of the Lord. All right, I got one more verse here as we kind of start off. This is James, who I believe understood Solomon's teachings. I believe James was clear on the whole concept here, because he's reiterating and he rephrases the same idea that we found in a couple of the Proverbs. He says it a little bit differently, and he says, humility is an expression of wisdom. Okay, so let's slow this down. I want to make sure that we're getting these words. I don't want to just say the words a bunch. I want to make sure we understand the words and what we're talking about. Wisdom. We want to be wise. We want to operate in a way that God would go, that person's doing it right. They're living right. They're making decisions right. They're operating in their life in a way that God would call wise. Now, Solomon said that wisdom comes with humility. So if you want wisdom, you actually should pursue humility. And here, James, talking about it, he says that humility is an expression of wisdom. So it's not just that if you are humble, you'll be wise. It's that if you are wise, you'll be humble. So look what it says here. Who is wise and understanding among you? This is James 3. Good. Who is wise and understanding among you? If you are, if you're wise and if you're understanding, show it. Well, how do you show it? Let him show it by his good life. And then he defines that. What's a good life? By deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. So if you're wise, be humble. Act in humility, and that humility will actually be an expression of wisdom in your life. It's kind of fun. I want to get into this. How do you fight your way into this clique? You know, like, I want to get into this niche group of the humble, the wise, those who fear the Lord, because it all fuels itself and seems like this thing just keeps on building. Who is wise and understanding among you? And I just imagine some of us that are still struggling with a healthy sense of pride, we stand up, I'm the wise one. Good, show it. How do I show it? By being humble, for the love of all good things. Be humble, it's an expression of wisdom. I just think about the way that the world has defined wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and the way that the Bible describes it. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So that means every human being that doesn't fear the Lord is not wise. And actually, to the degree that we fear the Lord, actually is the proof of the wisdom that really dwells within us. See, the Lord defines wisdom differently than the world does. The Lord is looking for wisdom as defined by humility and the pursuit of God. It says that the beginning of wisdom is actually that we would fear the Lord. And so, let's talk a little bit more about this concept of the fear of the Lord. Okay, how does this all fit in? And then we'll bring it full circle. Point of this series is to provide us some context to live in greater humility. I don't want to just talk about Bible verses. I appreciate it. I was talking to Luke earlier this week, and he said, you know, I like this series because it's just given me a lot of fuel of Bible verses to think about that week that have been kind of highlighted. Bible verses about humility to think about and to challenge myself with and to meditate on and to pray through. And I'll tell you what, if that's all we get out of this, is I'm highlighting a couple of Bible verses about humility each week for 8 weeks, and that does you a little bit of good as pointing you to some points to meditate on this week, I am golden with that. What a great takeaway that our church would spend 8 weeks meditating on what it means to be humble. So let's talk a little bit about this fear of the Lord thing. Describe it a little bit more. If Solomon said that the beginning of wisdom is that we would fear the Lord first, and we see that this is kind of a vast subject. It's the fear of the Lord connected to wisdom, connected to humility. Like, how does all of this connect? How do all of this work together? I just want to give you what, as best as I can, my definition of the fear of the Lord. And this does not touch on everything, but I think it's a really good starting point if you just need a couple of phrases to give a definition of the fear of the Lord, because I certainly don't like the definitions that I've read. I think they're not really touching on what it is. Here's my definition. The definition of fear of the Lord is that we would live in full assurance of three things. That we would live in full assurance of three things. First, that God is real. Because you can't fear him if he's not real. That God is real. That God is watching me. And I'm going to add right now. He is real and he is watching me. Right now, that's the second. And the third, he cares greatly about what I'm doing. He's real, he's watching, he cares. I call that the fear of the Lord. Living in that reality. Because if you're thinking about the realness of God, that he has eyeballs, and that he's looking at me right now and cares about what I'm doing, you will live differently. You will think differently. You will respond differently. I think that's the fear of the Lord. I think that's what it means practically to have the fear of the Lord. It's to live in the constant revelation of his reality and of his watchingness and of his great care and concern, and that we would live and respond to that, that we would live in such a way that if that's true, what does that say then about how I carry myself and how I watch my thought life? Well, those ideas, if you connect it that way, if that's the fear of the Lord, then the humility issue actually fits right in there. The humility concept, the idea that we want to live not in pride and arrogance and puffed up and self-focus, but we want to live before God like he's watching. See, that's humility. I just think about the humility of having to submit our lives to God, not just once when we came to Jesus, but again and again. And we submit our lives because we know that he's concerned, that he cares, that he's involved in the details of our life. Well, you guys remember, we've looked at it probably a couple of weeks, but a couple of times in this series, we've talked about the way that the Lord esteems the humble, that he loves the humble, he esteems humility. Those verses that we looked at, gosh, those fuel me even still. Well, I want to give you a couple of verses that say the same thing about how God feels about those who fear the Lord. It's the same. He feels the same way about those that live in humility as he does about those that apply the fear of the Lord or live in the fear of the Lord. Let's put those verses up. We've got Psalm 33:18, and then also Psalm 147:11. Look at these verses. They give the same picture. The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him. He's paying attention. It's a precious thing. His eyes, it's like we've caught his gaze. Oh, it's when one of my daughters does something really cute. Like my eyes are on, like I can't. I mean, even if I'm supposed to be doing something else, I'm kind of looking at them. My eyes are on them. Well, how do we get the eyes of the Lord in a very, you know, tender, affectionate, caring way? How do we get them on us? Fear him. It's the same as what he said about humility. He esteems those who fear, who are humble or who operate in humility. On those whose hope is in his unfailing love to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. See that passage right there in those kind of defining points, they're part of the reason that I define the fear of the Lord the way that I do. That he's real, that he's watching, and that he cares. Because if you look at those little components, their hope is in his unfailing love. You can't hope in his unfailing love unless you believe he's there. You got to believe that he actually cares about our life, that he's real enough and watching and paying attention to my life, that he can deliver me from death and keep me alive in famine and circumstances, that he's paying attention, that there's a God in heaven who's paying attention. Says his eyes are on those who fear him. Psalm 147:11, the Lord delights in those who fear him. I want to be one that he delights in. And God so loved the world. He loves lost people. He loves saved people. He loves saved people that fear him, saved people that don't feel him. But his delight, that's different. That's good food versus for Amy, it'd be tiramisu. I mean, oh, she loves that tiramisu. She delights in it. It's different than dessert. It's different than dinner. God delight in that. The Lord delights in those who fear him. It's the same language that's used about how he feels about humility. He esteems it. He loves it. His eyes are on us in this. Well, let's just touch on a couple of points that help us to get some of the framework for defining the fear of the Lord. And I gave you the definition. He's real. He's watching. He cares. Okay? But what does that look like? How does that flesh out? One is we recognize his supremacy. When we live in the fear of the Lord, we recognize his bigness, his leadership, his involvement in our lives, and we give him full access to lead us. That's what it means to fear the Lord. It's that we would give him full access. We recognize he's so much bigger, smarter, stronger. So why would I try to do it my way? Like, he's got such brilliance and such energy and strength and wisdom. So we recognize his supremacy, and we do it in our daily lives. We do it in our circumstances. We do it when we think we've got the right idea, when we think we know our own way. We identify with our own weakness. So it's not just that we recognize how big he is. We also recognize on our best day, we're still pretty weak. We're really not that big of a deal. You know, the phrase, I'm kind of a big deal. You know, this is kind of, I'm kind of a big deal. Like, no, we're kind of like not a big deal. Like on our best day, on our birthday. Which, happy birthday, Caitlin. I just remembered today's your birthday. Yeah, so, man, that's so much fun. I remembered something. Okay, so anyway, not just that we identify his supremacy, his bigness, but we also live in an ant-like state. We live recognizing our own smallness. You know, think of God as a grizzly bear and you as an ant, okay? So often we think of ourselves as a grizzly bear and God is so much bigger. Let's think small thoughts. Like, Lord, I need you. Because what that does, when God is big and we are big, we don't need him. But when God is big and we are small, we lean into him. And that's the fear of the Lord. It's the recognition that we need him. It's a breaking away from self-sufficiency. We have to recognize our own weakness. This all plays into humility. Doesn't all this, I mean, these are definitions of the fear of the Lord, but this all plays into the subject of humility just as easily. Because again, humility, wisdom, fear of the Lord, somehow these are all the same thing. Somehow they're all various expressions of the same reality, and they all feed on one another. And if you've got one, then the others will follow. So along the same line, his bigness, our weakness, it's a dismissing of our own ability. You know, each of us were given strengths and talents, but we don't want to rest and lean on those. We want to rest and lean on him and even thank him for the cool things he gave us. Some of you are smart. I love smarties. I love being around you. I love hearing you talk and say cool stuff. And I try to go say it later and I sound so dumb. I'm like, they said this thing is really cool. It's great. I love smart people. God gave you that. But don't think of yourself as so smart. Think of yourself as the grace of God given to you. But even today, to operate in that smartness, you need God. Some of you, it's financial capacities or entrepreneurship or musical talent or, you know, so whatever it is, just don't think of yourself so big. And instead, take all of those abilities and lean into his power to make that thing operate in your life, to make that thing real in your life. Lean into his provision, his opportunity, his protection, instead of our own capacities and our own might. See, those are enemies of humility. I versus you. I can do this. You notice even in the passage, it's, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it because of him. So an ant can take out a grizzly bear if God is with that ant. But an ant can't do squat by itself. And I just want us to live that way. I want our perspective to be that way. I want the way that we lead to be that way. The way you lead your small group. The way you lead your homes. The way you work in your marketplace assignments. That the Lord would be big, we would be small, and that We would rest on the very fact that we need him so desperately. Next, pray for the Lord's help. You know, that's the most natural thing to do when you realize big God, little you. It's to pray. And I think that's part of the New Testament call to us to pray fervently, devotedly, without ceasing. I mean, to be a people that pray, because to pray is a humble thing.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.